6. Vern saw Don Field the following day. Don looked more morose than ever. He plodded up to Vern as he was leaving the station after work.
"Well," Vern said, "it's you again. You're getting to be a familiar sight around this time of day."
"Where were you last night?"
Don said hoarsely.
"Last night? Why?"
"You went home. I called you."
"What do you care where I was last night?"
"I wondered."
Vern unlocked his car door.
"You can keep on wondering."
He drove off. Through the rearview mirror, he could see Don standing on the curb, watching sadly after him, his armload of records and books sagging. That evening, Vern mentioned to Teddy that he had seen Don. She said nothing. They were going down to the morning after club to hear Muggsy Spanier.
"Spanier," Vern said. "One of the greatest jazz men alive. It's an experience."
"I've heard his records."
"That's not the same. You don't get the bite of the music from a record, the feel. Wait and see."
Did she enjoy the evening? She seemed to. On the way home, she leaned against him, humming to herself. She appeared quite happy and content. Her eyes were bright and held that same merry gleam he had first noticed that night in the Walker Club. At the corner of the block near her apartment, Teddy suddenly put her hand on his arm.
"Vern, park her for a second. I'll be right back."
She got out and trotted up to a liquor store. It was just closing. The man had already turned the signs off and emptied the register. Teddy banged on the door, waving. The man shuffled over and unlocked it. Teddy went inside. A few moments later, she came out with a paper bag. She hopped in the car.
"This is on me."
They drove up along the curb to her place. As they got out, Vern began to check the doors and windows of the car to make sure they were locked. Teddy laughed, standing on the sidewalk.
"You're so earnest. No one's gonna run off with your car."
Vern grunted. "I suppose not. But it makes me feel better. Let's go." He followed her up the stairs. She strode along, holding on to the banister, a pace ahead of him. At the top, she halted, waiting for him to catch up. Under her door was a slip of white paper, pushed halfway inside. She picked it up and read it.
"It's from Don."
She passed it to him. He read it and handed it back. Teddy put the note in her pocket and they went on inside. The living room light was on, a feeble glow hidden behind the table. It left the room dark and mysterious. He could smell things in the air, the perfumes and odors of women, the faint hanging scent of liquor and cigarettes. And when he went to hang up his coat in the closet, another smell, almost an animal smell.
"Do you have a pet?"
"I had a cat, but she was run over. Her back was broken. I saw it out the window."
"I'm sorry."
"It's hard to keep a cat when you have only an apartment. Box of newspapers in the kitchen, furniture all clawed up. Come sit down."
He sat down. Teddy disappeared into the kitchen, humming as she went. He heard things being opened. Now, sitting by himself in the living room, hearing the sound of the girl bustling around in the kitchen, he began to feel the first faint stirrings of a profound peace and contentment. He allowed his body to relax. His mind sank into a kind of half-sleep. A cloud of soft darkness moved over him, mixed with the smells of the room. In the blanket of woman smells, the smells of perfumes and deodorants and female bodies, he found himself going to sleep. From a great distance, he realized that Teddy had come back into the room and was standing in the doorway, gazing silently at him. Presently, he struggled a little and managed to become awake. He smiled at her. He'd taken his glasses off and put them into his pocket. He loosened his tie, lying with his head against the rough fabric of the couch. Teddy crossed the room noiselessly, growing and expanding until she stood before him. She put down a tray and then seated herself beside him. He did not look up. He was content. The warmth, the smells hovered over him. He was falling asleep again, and it was a long way to fall. Down and down he plummeted. The world, noises, the coldness, the bright lights, everything rushed away from him. Teddy's small, hard fingers were against his face. He sighed. The pressure of her hands was increasing. Like the force of a coiled-up spring, the energy was coming out of her, moving through her arms and hands, into him. Surges of power, a flowing, overwhelming force, the demands of desire. He sighed again, of bodily need. The smells, the warmth, the room, and the girl next to him all blended and merged together. He ceased to know where one began, the other ended. Everything in and around him was rising to the surface, flowing out. A tide, a vast, drumming tide was washing him away. He closed his eyes. Without resistance, he allowed himself to be lost into it. He ached. His body felt seared and blistered. He winced to the touch. Dazed, his mind struggled to collect itself. He was scattered, strewn everywhere, all over, fragments and particles. He gasped, breathing like an animal that had come out of some desperate battle.
Are you all right?
Teddy said. He looked at her. A lean nose, loose, hanging hair, moist strands of black glued together, dripping with perspiration. Her eyes gleamed close to his. Vern pulled away. He was laid open, unconcealed. He turned to one side, away from her. The couch lifted. She had risen up, onto the arm.
I'm all right.
His head ached. His glasses had fallen out of his pocket onto the floor. He picked them up and put them on. After a while, he sat up. On the arm of the couch, Teddy quietly fastened her clothes, pulling her dress together. She said nothing.
What time is it?
Vern murmured.
About 3.
She was watching him.
Are you all right? Do you feel all right?
Could she tell how far she had been pushed away? He felt cold. Everything in the room had receded from him. His stomach growled. His mouth tasted sour. He found the tray and ate a cracker smeared with Liederkranz. Presently, he tried some of the drink she had fixed for him, but it choked, charring his windpipe. He put the glass down.
I'm sorry. I'll be all right.
He got out his pipe and began to light it. Teddy moved back beside him, drawing toward the end of the couch. He stared at her indifferently. Her face was thin, her body was underdeveloped and plain, like a boy's. He looked down at her feet. They were long and flat, like a bird's. A crane's. Teddy twisted her bony shoulders together, turning her head suddenly away.
It's cold in here, Vern said.
She did not answer. Vern gazed around the room. He crossed his legs. A measure of vitality was beginning to come slowly back into him. It made the objects of the room seem less dead, remote. They were regaining their life, their color. What had happened a few minutes before had emptied them, sucked the meaning out of them, out of everything around him, all things in the room, wherever he looked. But now the meaning, the usual glow, was seeping back in, draining slowly back into place. The room was becoming warm again. Vern smoked, his legs crossed, feeling a little better. He turned to Teddy.
Maybe I should go home.
She turned quickly. Her eyes were shining.
Do you want to go? Is that what you want?
He removed his pipe slowly. It's late. I have the early shift tomorrow. He glanced away. It was not so.
I'm sorry. You wouldn't want to stay here? It's not very far from the station.
I have to shave. He plucked at his sleeve. I need a change. Teddy was silent.
I'm sorry.
Sorry? Why?
I don't know. I do know.
She gazed at him appealingly.
You're disappointed. I wasn't enough.
She bit her lip, her eyes blind with pain. Vern shifted.
No, it certainly isn't that.
She continued to look at him.
No, don't think it was that.
He got to his feet.
It's late. I'm tired, you know.
I'll walk downstairs with you.
Good.
Teddy went to get her coat. She came back at once, gaunt and forlorn, her coat around her shoulders. Vern took her arm awkwardly.
Ready?
She nodded. Let's go. They went outside into the empty hall. They walked down the steps slowly, neither of them speaking. The air outside was thin and crisp. Vern stood for a moment on the porch, taking a deep breath. The streets were dark and silent. Far off, blocks away, a city street sweeper nosed along, gathering up papers and debris. "Well, good night, Teddy," Vern said.
"Good night."
He walked down and across the sidewalk to his car. Teddy stood on the porch, watching him unlock the door. He slid in behind the wheel. "I'll call you tomorrow on the phone." She nodded. He drove off. The telephone was ringing. He opened his eyes. Everything in the room was running back and forth. Christ! He dragged himself out of bed, onto his feet, catching hold of the wall. He scooped up the phone, sitting down in the chair beside it. "Hello?" He pushed his hair back out of his face with his fingers. His hands were shaky.
"This is Teddy."
Her voice was emotionless. It said nothing, only words. He looked at the clock across the room, but he could not read it without his glasses. Bright sunlight was falling in, streaming through the window. "What time is it?"
9:30.
"How's the sleep?" After a moment, he said, "I was going to call you later on."
"Yes."
He felt around for his glasses. They were in his coat over the back of the chair by the bed. The sun blinded him. He squinted, rubbing his eyes. He yawned. Teddy's voice came again, thin and expressionless.
"Don wants me to go out this evening. I didn't know what to do. Should I go with them?"
"Don? Where? To where?"
"The Walker Club."
"Oh." He said nothing for a while. He could feel her holding tightly to the phone at the other end. He tried to think what to say. He was beginning to get adjusted to the sunlight. He closed his eyes and settled against the back of the chair, propping the receiver between his neck and shoulder. Time passed. "Do you want to go?" he said finally.
"I don't know."
"Where are you now? At home?"
"In a drugstore. I couldn't sleep. I've been walking around."
"What drugstore?" She did not answer. "What drugstore? Is it far from here?"
"No."
He considered. "I could drive over and pick you up."
"Could you?"
She gave him the address. "Do you want to wait there?"
"I'll wait."
"All right?"
"Yes, I'll wait here."
He hung up. After a while, he went into the bathroom and took a shower. He shaved and dressed and listened to the news on the radio. Finally, he put his coat on and went outside to the car. He had to be at work at noon. There was about 2 hours to go. He found her standing in front of the drugstore, leaning against the side of the building. He pushed the car door open and she made her way out to him. "Greetings," he said, starting up the car.
"Hello."
"How are you today?"
"I'm fine."
She turned toward him.
"Sorry to wake you up so early."
He could not read her expression. He grunted. "Doesn't matter."
"What time do you have to go to work?"
"About noon."
"Then we have some time then."
"I guess so." He edged into the traffic.
"Vern, what's wrong?"
"I'm worried about my program. I haven't got it ready for next Thursday. I was thinking about it."
"We can drive for a while, can't we?"
"Sure." He looked at his watch. "But I have to stop and eat someplace. I haven't had breakfast." They drove in silence. Teddy stirred.
"Vern, you're not upset about last night, are you?"
"What do you mean?"
"You seemed so aloof all of a sudden, so pulled back, withdrawn and silent."
"Sorry."
"I'd like to know why. Can't you tell me?"
"I told you, my damn program."
"Is that really it?"
He could feel her watching him intently, looking at his face.
"It isn't because of last night?"
"Why last night?"
"I think last night you were disgusted."
Vern snorted. "For God's sake." He stopped for a red light. "No, it's not that. Having a deadline every week grinds me down. The constant pressure. Sometimes I go into a wingding of some kind. It has nothing to do with you. It's been going on for years."
"You're very nervous. I can tell by the way you move your hands. You're under a lot of tension."
Vern thought about it for a while. "It's a strange thing. About 11 o'clock in the morning, I start feeling as if there were something settling down over my shoulders, some sort of pressure, like a heavy weight,
It bends me over.
Do you know why?
The weight like a glove, as if I had the weight of the world on my shoulders. Responsibility to my job, I suppose. It wears me out.
You try too hard.
This is a competitive world.
Are you afraid of not succeeding?
He scowled and relapsed into silence.
I'm sorry,
Teddy said. Well, don't worry about last night. It's funny the way women relate everything to themselves, everything that happens, insult or compliment. They drove aimlessly along.
Are we going any place in particular?
Teddy asked.
Or are we just driving?
Just driving.
That's fine.
He said Don wanted you to go out with him tonight. Are you going to? Have you decided?
I don't know. What do you think? I thought maybe you and I...
Do you want to?
No, but you and I couldn't do something, could we?
I have the late shift. I won't be off until after midnight.
Did they make you work that long?
It's split, a break in the afternoon.
Late in the week, could...
We can probably work something out. She nodded. Don't feel hurt, Vern said.
I'm not hurt.
They drove for a long time without saying much of anything to each other. At last, Vern took the car into Teddy's neighborhood. Presently, he brought it to a stop in front of her apartment building. An old Negro was soaping down the front steps with a brush and a wash bucket. Teddy looked up at the building, through the window of the car.
Well, I guess we're here.
I'll give you a call later on.
Thanks.
She opened the door and got out. What do you think you'll do tonight, about Don? Maybe it would be a good idea to go along with it for a while more. You don't want to hit him over the head all at once.
I suppose not. Well, I'll think it over. Thanks for driving me.
I'll see you. Vern slammed the door shut and drove off. Through his rearview mirror, he could see her walking slowly up the stairs of her building, past the Negro. Then a truck turned in behind him, and he saw nothing but the heavy, expressionless face of the driver, gazing impassively ahead. Very late that night, after he had come home from work, there was a knock on the door. Who is it? A muffled male voice sounded outside, but he could not make out any words. He opened the door. It was Don. Isn't this sort of late for you to be out? Don came into the room. He dropped into a low chair, sighing.
Thought I'd stop and say hello.
So I see. Vern sat down across from him. Nothing special on your mind?
No.
What'd you do this evening?
Went to hear the Woolly Wildcats.
You and your girl? Don nodded. She likes it, huh?
Teddy's a good girl. She responds.
That's nice.
What have you been doing recently? You haven't been at home. I'm sorry you blew up at me the other day. I was just wondering.
That's all right. I haven't been doing anything special. The telephone rang. Vern did not move.
Aren't you gonna answer it?
Don rumbled. Vern got to his feet and went over slowly. He picked up the receiver. Hello?
Vern, this is Teddy. Can I talk to you? Don brought me home a little while ago. You're not in bed yet, are you? Could we...
I'll call you back. Call you in a few minutes. I have company. There was silence. Then the phone clicked. Vern hung up and walked back to his chair.
Who was it?
Don demanded.
Anyone I know?
No.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
You sure are in a tizzy these days.
That's too bad. Don fidgeted with the books he was carrying. Neither of them spoke. Finally, Don got to his feet and moved toward the door.
Well, I guess there's no use hanging around here. I'll come back when you feel better.
I feel all right. I'll let you out. He opened the door. Don plodded out into the hall and he closed the door after him. As soon as he heard him leave the building, he phoned Teddy. I'm sorry. Don was here. I couldn't talk with him sitting right in front of me.
Oh, I didn't understand. I thought...
You were wrong. He felt irritable.
Vern, don't be angry. I didn't know. I'm sorry I didn't understand. I'm sorry I hung up that way.
Well, forget it. What did you want?
Oh, Vern.
She moved away from the phone. Presently, she went on in a low, thin voice.
I just wanted to see if you were still up. Could we talk? Could you come over? I could take a taxi to your place if you're too tired.
It took him a while to answer. Well, it's hard to know what to say. I'm tired, of course. I feel like I've been hanging on the cross. But I want to see you. That goes without saying. There was silence.
Perhaps it would be better if we got together tomorrow night instead.
We'd have more time. It's pretty late.
Yes, it's pretty late.
He could hear her twisting and turning, trying to know what to do. At last, her voice came again, uncertain and hesitant.
Well, we'll make it tomorrow night, if it's all right. You do want to come over, don't you? You haven't begun to change your mind, have you?
No, I'll be over. About 7. She said goodbye and hung up. Vern went to bed. He fell asleep right away. The next day he telephoned her from the station before he left to go home. It was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. She sounded brighter. Did you sleep all right last night? He said.
Yes, I feel much better today.
Her voice was calm, firm. What time shall I come over? 7?
Vern, I'll come over to your place if it's all right.
My place? If you want, but it's a mess.
I don't care.
What time shall I pick you up?
I'll come by taxi. You go on home and I'll be over later on. I have some things to do and I don't know how long it will take, okay?
Sure. He hung up. She did not come until almost 9. Restlessly, he paced around his room, deep in thought. There was no question any longer. Don could have her back. He was wasting his time. The thing had gone far enough. While he was thinking, the bell rang. He crossed quickly to the door and opened it.
Hello,
Teddy said merrily. She stood in the doorway, dressed in a dark suit, a coat over one arm, and in the other hand holding a suitcase. He gaped at the suitcase.
Can I come in?
She entered the room, putting the suitcase down. Vern closed the door behind her. Well, he murmured. Certainly doesn't take you long when you've made up your mind.
Come, darling, and help me unpack.
She held her coat out.
Where does this go?
In the closet. He showed her where the closet was. There was a cold, clammy feeling in his chest. A heavy weight seemed to drag him down. He followed her into the bedroom. She set the suitcase on the bed and snapped it open. From it, she took an armload of dresses and laid them out on the bed. Slips, bras, underpants, nylons.
Do you want to fix me a drawer to put some of the small things into?
Teddy said. Sure. I'll go along with it. He took his stuff out of the top dresser drawer, wadding everything into the bottom. Is that enough?
I don't need very much. I brought only the things I'll need right away.
She put some clothing and small packages and boxes into the drawer. Most of the dresses went into the closet. Presently, she was through.
Where shall I put the suitcase?
I'll take it. He lugged it into the closet and pushed it to the back. Then he turned to face her. Now what? Teddy smiled back at him without speaking. I wonder what the manager will say.
Don't worry. In these big buildings, they don't care, as long as you don't bother the other people.
I see, Vern murmured. Teddy laughed.
I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm hungry. Can we eat? Have you eaten?
I've eaten, but I'll fix you something. He moved toward the kitchen.
Don't be silly. I'll fix it myself. We might as well get started right.
Vern studied her. I almost believe you're serious about this.
Almost?
She trotted into the kitchen and began opening cupboards and drawers, looking to see what he had. After she had eaten, they sat around the living room. Vern was in a turmoil. He kept looking at the girl and wondering what was going on in her mind. Was this real? Was it actually happening? He took out his pipe, but there was no tobacco for it. He searched his pockets for a while and then gave up. He went to the kitchen and drank a little soda and water instead. When he came back, Teddy had an announcement.
I told Don this afternoon. Are you glad?
You told him what?
Vern?
She came over to him, smiling, her eyes bright. Hard, able fingers closed over his arm.
He was very upset. I told him to go read a science fiction story.
She rocked merrily back and forth on her heels. Vern said nothing. A little after 11 o'clock, while he was looking through some old programs, he noticed that she had left the room. She was no place in sight, in the living room or in the kitchen. Teddy? There was a noise from the bedroom.
I'm in here.
After a moment, she said,
Vern, will you do me a favor?
What is it?
Will you pull down the shades?
He went around the living room, pulling the shades down. He went back to looking over his old programs. All at once, Teddy came running into the room. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see her, standing in the middle of the rug behind him. He put down his pen and swung around. His jaw dropped. She was naked. Bony and white, she stood smiling at him, her little breasts bobbing up and down, her hands on her hips, her feet a little apart.
Darling, don't you think we should go to bed? I have to get up early tomorrow. I have to go all the way across town to Manhattan.
Vern got to his feet. He walked all around her, staring in amazement at her thin body. She turned to face him. In the bedroom, the bedspread and sheets had been pulled back. You're really serious? He murmured. He shook his head. Well, this takes the cake. Her smile froze. She said nothing, but her lean loins tensed, muscles standing out like cords. It's impossible. It really is. Inside him, the cold, clammy weight grew, as if a net were around him, a great damp curtain pulling him down. She had taken off all her clothes. He could see them piled up on a chair by the bed, even her shoes, everything. It was grotesque. He shut his eyes.
Vern?
Let's face it, for Christ's sake. He pushed his glasses up, rubbing his eyes. I'll be damned if... He stopped. Across her face, an expression of wild terror had flitted, so crude and stark that it startled him into silence. For a moment she blinked, her eyes burning. Then, abruptly, it was gone. Her mouth set in a narrow line, her eyes filmed over. She turned without a word and walked into the bedroom. A moment later, she came back with a heavy coat pulled around her. She pushed past him toward the front door. He caught her by the shoulder. She jumped away from him, and he stepped between her and the door. Her body was hard and tense. She stood a little way off, breathing shallowly and watching him. Teddy, for God's sake, let's... She rushed into the kitchen. He followed her, grabbing her arm. She snatched up a can opener from the drawer. He pulled it quickly away. Her fingers were like metal claws. Stop it! He held onto her arm. Look, you couldn't possibly stay here. It isn't possible. They'd throw us out in 24 hours. He could feel her thin arm through the coat sleeve. Do you understand? It's not my fault. I can't do anything about it. Suddenly, she relaxed. Everything seemed to run out of her. He let go of her arm slowly.
Of course,
she said.
That's true. I guess we'll have to think of something else.
That's right. He patted her shoulder. Let's go back in the living room and sit down. Okay? We can talk it over calmly. He led her back over to the couch.
I ought to put on something else.
She plucked at the coat. All right. They went into the bedroom. Teddy unfastened her coat and hung it up in the closet. She dressed slowly, silently. He watched her, sitting on the bed. At last, she was through. Finished?
All done.
He got up and went over to her. Let's go out and have a drink. Then we can drive around for a while. You leave the rest of your stuff here tonight, and we'll work out something tomorrow morning. We'll figure out something, okay? Now, where do you want to go?
Doesn't matter. Wherever you say.
We'll go across the street. It's a nice, quiet little bar. We can talk there. She nodded. But on the sidewalk, she stopped. What's the matter?
I think I'd rather go right home. I don't feel too well.
Whatever you want.
Can we walk?
Walk? All that way?
It's not far.
All right. We can always call a taxi when we get tired. They walked slowly along. The streets were silent and lonely. Above, the sky was overcast. Only a few stars were visible. One huge cloud, as large as a continent, hung across the horizon. It was moving, swelling larger and larger, spreading its opaque grayness over the whole world. One by one, the stars winked off and disappeared. Vern looked away. Beside him, Teddy strode along, her hands in the pockets of her coat, saying nothing. Her head was up. She was breathing deeply, her mouth half open, drawing the air into her lungs, the cold, damp air.
"It's a nice night,"
she said. "Yes."
"I'm glad we're walking."
She slipped her arm through his.
"Do you mind?"
"No."
"Do you know what I've decided?"
He glanced at her.
"What?"
Teddy kicked a stone from the sidewalk. It rolled into the gutter.
"You're right about your apartment, of course. I remember how he looked at me, the manager. I should have realized. But that's all over with."
She turned toward Vern, smiling.
"Anyhow, it's better to start fresh."
"Fresh?"
"In a new place, where you've never been before. Where you can paint and clean up, put up drapes, pictures, start all over. Do you stay in one place very long? The same place gets stale after a while."
Vern said nothing.
"We'll find a place with a yard. I want to plant some herbs. I've always wanted an herb garden. You can do wonderful things with herbs. And I can get Sheshigan back again."
"What's that?"
"My cat."
"Your cat? You said..."
"This is a different cat. I gave it to some friends. They'll give her back again."
Vern was dazed. He shook his head. "I don't get it. You're giving up your apartment? Why? Don't you intend to..." Teddy smiled.
"I've already told the landlady. I told her this morning. Vern, there's so many things we can do. Have you ever painted an apartment? Have you? Do you know how it smells late at night, the wet smell of the paint? You turn on the stove for coffee, the smell of the paint mixing with the coffee smell, the gas, the bright overhead light."
They walked on. Above them, the last star had been absorbed, swallowed by the vastness of the gray continent that swelled across the sky. How could it be? How could great flaming suns, thousands of miles in diameter, burning masses bigger than the earth, be eaten up and absorbed by something so small, so unimportant as a cloud? Everything was disappearing, vanishing. All around him, the world was fading into the gray mists, the hodgepodge of stars and trash and tree branches, newspapers, the little things that roll around in the wind. And himself. He would be swept along with the rest. He had no power to stop the motion of these things. He glanced at the girl striding along beside him. Was it possible that things could be devoured by something so weak, so thin and small, so gaunt? Had he always been so helpless? Was this the way it would always be? Was there nothing else for him? They stopped at a corner for a street light. No one was in sight. The wet street stretched out in all directions, dark and barren. Suddenly, Vern tensed. He pulled back, away from the girl.
"What is it?"
Teddy said.
"Why'd you stop?"
"Listen." She listened.
"I don't hear anything."
He moved down the sidewalk, straining to hear. A sound, a faint, familiar sound, a sound he had not heard for a long time. Someone was playing a musical instrument, but he could not tell where. He came to a house and stood listening, his head to one side. Then he went back farther, past the house, until he stood by a fence, a lattice fence overgrown with ivy. Light was coming through the fence, where the holes were not filled up with the leaves and stems of ivy. He bent down, peering through the fence, cupping his hands. On the other side, a boy was sitting in the middle of a garden on a wooden stool, playing an oboe. He stared intently ahead, his eyes fixed on a music stand. Above his head, an electric light bulb hung. Nothing else seemed to exist for him. Only the cold instrument in his hands, the music in front of him, nothing else. All at once, he stopped and turned his head. He looked past Vern, off into the distance, his instrument in his lap. Then he lifted it up again and began to play as before. Down at the end of the block, Teddy was calling angrily. Vern stepped back onto the sidewalk and made his way slowly toward her, his hands in his pockets.
What happened? Why did you go back?
A high school boy, practicing on his oboe. Teddy shrugged. They walked on. Vern was still gazing at Carl when the young man began to wake up. He turned slowly in the bed, stretching and opening his eyes. He blinked at Vern.
How long have you been awake?
Not very long, Vern murmured. Carl sat up.
What kind of day is it?
He pulled back the shade above his bed and peered out. The sky was bright blue. The sun shone down everywhere. Off in the distance, they could see the machines of the company, tall columns, rising up like abandoned towers.
I guess it's time to get up,
Carl said. He struggled out of his covers and onto his feet. He smiled cheerily at Vern. His blonde hair hung down over his face. He pushed it back out of the way.
Let's go eat breakfast.
Carl was all excitement.
Just think, we can have anything we want. We can have turkey and cream peas and plum pudding with brandy sauce.
Is that what you want for breakfast?
No, but we could have it. Just think, everything here is ours. Maybe we're not so bad off after all. We're like kings. We're wealthy emperors.
It's not so much. You'll get tired of it before the end of the week.
Do you think so? Well, we'll see.
Vern nodded absently. He was trying to adjust to the present. The past was still with him very much. They washed and shaved and dressed. Together they walked down the path toward the commissary.
Do you think Barbara will be there already?
Carl asked. I don't know.
She certainly seems to be a nice person. Don't you think so? But I get the impression that at some time she suffered a great deal.
Vern laughed out loud.
Wait, don't laugh. I can tell quite a lot about people, more than you'd think. It's the way she holds herself and talks, and the words she uses. There's something in her face. Maybe we'll find out before we leave.
Vern scowled. Christ's sake.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Vern seemed sunk in irritable gloom. He gazed down at the path, his hands pushed into his pockets.
Sorry,
Carl murmured. They walked in silence the rest of the way. The commissary was deserted. There was no one there. They wandered around inside. Well, Vern said. Carl looked sad.
I thought maybe she'd already be here, cooking breakfast for us. Waffles and ham and orange juice, or something like that.
Cook it yourself.
I'm not very good at cooking. Anyhow, it's not the same when you have to cook it yourself.
All I want is a cup of coffee. Vern sat down at the table. Suddenly, Carl brightened.
Maybe one of us could run over and wake her up. She's probably still asleep.
Vern grunted. Probably.
Do you want to?
Why me?
You know her.
Carl waited, hopefully. Do it yourself. It won't hurt you. Haven't you ever got a woman out of bed? It's time you learned. Carl's ears turned red. He moved toward the door.
I'll go over. I guess it's all right.
It's all right. You don't have to go inside. Just rap on the door. Of course, if she invites you in, that's another thing.
Oh, goodbye.
Carl pushed the door open. Vern watched him go, sourly. After a time, he got up and went over to the sink. He fixed himself a glass of baking soda and warm water. Making a face, he drank it down.